Okay. Hebrews chapter 7. I believe we left off at verse. I tell you, we'll pick up then at verse 18. That sounds about right. And we did get a little sidetracked last week, but this week we'll get back on it and try to get down to chapter 8. I think that's possible. So let's start off with verse 18. Before we do that, let's have a prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you again for the privilege to meet and study your word. We pray as we go forward for the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to lift the words off the pages into our hearts and minds, to give us a better understanding of your goal to the Hebrews, and also how we can apply the doctrine that we see in Hebrews to our benefit. We know that the priestly work of Jesus Christ was for all and unto all, particularly through the Hebrews, but we receive it by grace. So we pray as we look into these things that we could appreciate the work that was done on our behalf to perfect us as well as them. And as we go forward, we pray for those who are not here, for those who would like to be here. We just pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us as we study. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Cut this. Sorry about that. I'm cutting the fan on this. All right. Turn it down. That's good. Okay. Okay. Seems high, doesn't it? That's okay. I think it's on one. I can keep the papers down. Okay. Sorry about that. Hebrews. Yeah. I thought you might like to get some of that breeze. Okay, sorry about the dead air, those who are listening and those who are here. Hebrews 7, verse, let's pick up at 18. Now, just before we go into 7, he's starting again in 7 through 9, really 7 through 10, is focusing on the Lord's role as a priest. And as a priest and then as an offering. In the Hebrews, he kind of focuses on him as being the offering, which is what he's showing is how the Lord replaced the sacrificial system of the old covenant. Not just the system, but everything. He replaced the priest as the mediator between man and God, and he also replaced the sacrifices. So you know that all those five sacrifices that they offered through the law, they just foreshadowed Christ. The priest in the Old Testament just foreshadowed Christ. The Old Testament system was just a shadow of what the New Testament would do. And when the writer of Hebrews writes that, that's what all he's doing is showing them that how much better this is. I think Paul says in Galatians, the law was our schoolmaster to do what? To bring us unto Christ, that we might receive the promise. So law, it was just if they were really sincere about it, they would know. So how long do we have to do this? Because it's not working. So in verse, you pick it up at 7. In verse, let's start at verse, I know we have to go back a bit, but we won't tarry too long. Verse 11, it says, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, For under it the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So he says, if the law got the job done, then why would there have to be another? Why would there have to be another system? And if Aaron got the job done and the Levites, why would there have to be another priest to arise after another tribe? There would be no reason with it. If the first was fine, then there would be no need for a second. You know, how many times you go into the store and you see new and improved? And just so you're telling me, really, that the first one wasn't so good. You know.
For more money.
And it's now they trick us. That's the world. They you know, new and improved. It's like it went from 16 to 12 ounces and it's half full. How's this better? Right. But the Lord's, you know what, when he says it's new and improved, it is. And you know, and really that's a principle, because when you go through scripture, it's always like he says in Corinthians, that which is spiritual is not first, but that which is carnal. So it's always the lesser, carnal, weaker first, then the spiritual, better, stronger next. You know, they say it's always better the second time around. So it says, for verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. So if he changed the priesthood, that system, then obviously you have to change the requirements that went along with it. I want to say the requirements, but if the law system changed, then I guess you'd say the fine print, the details of it would have to be changed also. So there has to be an amendment, because new people always bring in new requirements, right? As a matter of fact, where he's in chapter 2, he says this about Moses, that Moses was faithful over his house. Just like Moses was faithful over his house, the son is faithful over his house. When we say house, that should make you think of something. The kingdom? Oh, I mean, scripturally. Now think about this. Where he says the house, right? Huh?
Order.
House. And we, this is something that we talk about all the time. If Moses was a ruler over his house, right, or the servant over his house, what would be another word for the servant? He would be the what?
Administrator. Steward.
Good answer.
And if he was a steward, then his rule would be called a what? Stewardship. It'd be a stewardship. So his house rule would be a stewardship or a we use it all the time. Dispensation, right. You agree with that? It'd be, so he says if the dispensation changed, where the Lord, when he starts off Hebrews, he says that God at sundry times and divers manners spake, he said, but in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. Well, that's a new what?
New rule.
A new rule. So he'll come in with a new rule Or, and I think the actual word is where we use dispensation, it's the same word as house rule, because you translate it. That's what the oikos is, the house. That's just the Greek word for house. Nomos is the rule. That's where you get the house rule, which we translate to economy or econo oikonomos.
Huh? I was supposed to say, you know that.
That's economy, stewardship, dispensation. So when he comes, if the ruler changes or the dispenser changes, then obviously what's being dispensed is got to change also, which is the rules. I think he said it. He says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of what? Of the rule, of the law. So there's different requirements. So yeah, the old house ruler required this, but I don't require that. That's why we say we're not under the law, but under grace. Most people know that, but they don't know this. They don't realize that, yeah, if you realize that you're not under the law, then you are a dispensationalist. You may not like that word. You may not understand that word. You may have never even heard of that word. And that's where the God, when he writes, that's why he writes these things, because he wants you to know, like he wants the Hebrews to know that, listen, he's better than your old landlord. Matter of fact, even the old house, he says, it's all different now. And he says, for verse 13, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. And he's getting ready, he's telling them that the Lord, to prove that this is different, he's not even from the tribe of Levi. So when you see, if you see a man show up, if you're Hebrew, if you see a man show up that's not even a Levite, and he says, I'm a priest, wouldn't you have a question?
Sure.
He's like, wait a minute.
What has changed?
How did you become a priest?
It's like he changed everything.
He changed.
Yeah.
Right. Now, think about this. Think about this change. For 2,500 years plus, Levites did the service. Zacharias, being a priest, is in the temple. And there's, at that time, on the timeline, something is ready to change. And Luke says this, the law and the prophets were what? Until John. Look, that word means something. Until, that means what?
Up until
John, something else. Look,
cut over.
Whatever's back here is going to change.
Thanks.
Right?
Expiration date.
That's, so the law, look, the law and the prophets, they were until John. Okay, John shows up, you automatically, just by the terminology, you are looking for something to change. And he said, but from that time forward, what? The kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Now, the law and the prophets, what did they talk about? They talked about the kingdom. They even talked about the king. They were even in the kingdom, even though it was taken from them at different points. So when John shows up, he says, they talked about it, they looked for it, but when this man shows, he says, what?
It's here.
It's here. And not to get too far sidetracked, but John is a priest. Did you know that John was a priest? John is a priest. Do you know why he's a priest? He's from the tribe of Levi. Hold your hand in dead Hebrews. Look at Matthew. Let's see. Matthew 3 and Luke 2. It's one of those. What do you have first? Whatever I tell you to have, right? I guess I'm the Luke. Let's take Luke chapter 1. That'll work. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, if Zacharias is a priest, right?
Yeah.
That makes him a Levite. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron.
And he was a Levite.
What would that make Elizabeth?
Levite.
Okay. And they had a son. What would that make their son?
Levite.
So, all right, look at verse 8. And, well, you know what? We might as well read verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What was John's job?
Prepare the people
for the Lord. Prepare the people for the Lord. What were the priests doing?
Same thing,
right? So, but look, John is not in the temple.
John
the Baptist.
But that was after the veil was ripped.
No.
No, that was before that.
John, that's what, okay, Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. I said Luke 1, okay, Matthew 3. You know this. It's you. Maybe this will just shine the glass a little.
I mean, put together a document.
That's it. You can use that. Matthew, he's okay. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the temple of Jerusalem, saying, "Repent ye, for the
in the wilderness of Judea.
In the wilderness of Judea, right?
Yes.
Wait a minute. He's a priest, right?
Yes.
Why is he preaching in the wilderness of Judea and not in the temple in Jerusalem?
Because
because look, the Lord is showing them that there's something different now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just there's something different about this man, because there's something different about what I'm doing now at this time. There's something different being dispensed, and this man is the dispenser. And he says, for this is, even though it's connected with this, with the law and the prophets, it's a graduation, it's a progression. Put it this, you know what? It's if you turn a faucet on, that's a dispenser. It dispenses water. You can turn it on and it can trickle out, right? If you turn it a little further, it trickles out a little more. Well, that's how God dispensed his truth. When he goes through, you know what? It just trickled here. When he turns it up with John, there's they get a little more truth. And if you keep up with the water flow, you keep up with God, right?
So during the tribulation, it's going to be connected to a power washer, right?
It'll be a fire hose, right?
Yeah.
And but if you see that, it just he just gradually increases the revelation. So would you see him out in the wilderness preaching the gospel of the kingdom? And he's a priest.
Almost the vision of the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or here, but here is not in the temple.
He's already he's setting the stage to do away with the old system.
Right. Yeah.
So, if you're a Hebrew, and you see these things, you want to know. That's why they came out. They came out there, it's like, wait a minute. Hey, Zacharias. You know what's interesting? Zacharias, his Aunt Elizabeth. How long was it before God spoke to the nation? 400 years, right? Zacharias, his very name means God remembers. I'm sorry, it just didn't.
Yeah,
and Elizabeth means Eli, which is God. It's close to that. The Beth, the is Sabeth is really like Shavet. It's the oath, God's oath. The two of them together, you can say that what?
God remembers his oath.
God remembers his oath. After all that silence, he says, listen, you're going to have a son. After 400 years of silence, he comes on, the prophet, with a new and improved priesthood. To them, they don't think it's new and improved because
he's in camel's hair.
Right. He doesn't have the garb. He doesn't have the, he's not in the temple. He doesn't have the uniform. And they want to know, hey, Zacharias, what's the deal?
And he wants to wash him, but not in the lake.
Right. If you're a Jew, what are you thinking?
Something crazy is going on.
Who's this guy?
Right. He's asking us to follow him.
Listen. Who are you? That's what they went out to say. Who are you? Are you that prophet? No. Are you him? Are you the Christ? No. You know what he said? I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice, but there's one coming after me who's greater. Matter of fact, I am not worthy to unloose a latchet on his shoe. So, you see that change? So, when you get to Hebrews, and then he says, okay, that's John, right? So here he is. Now you got, here's another man after another course. Melchizedek. When the Lord shows up, he says, I'm after this order. Matter, he said, I'm not a Levite. He says, I'm from what? I'm from Judah. Now, one other interesting note is this. Mary is Elizabeth's cousin. If that's her cousin, she must be a Levite, right? So Mary, Jesus' mother, she's what? She's a Levite. But they don't go from the mother's genealogy. They go from the father's genealogy. And Joseph is from Judah.
Even though he's not the true father.
Even though he's not the true father. Man, you gotta love how the Lord thinks this out. Because
yeah.
He says, look, Jesus is a what? A king and a what? And a priest. He's a king, priest, prophet. So, as a matter of fact, the way he has the right to the throne is through the father's line, even though he's excluded from the king's line naturally. Let me rephrase that. Because the seed of the man is contaminated, and that seed, he couldn't be. He was excluded by sinfulness. I would say that. You remember that because he's really Joseph, not his father.
Right. And yet, in the earthly form, he is recognized. Even though the Jews called Jesus almost a bastard,
right? But he has the line through the Father,
yeah.
Even though it's not his natural father.
Right.
Legally, he can do it, but genealogically, it's really not his father. And from the he can't be a priest because his mother's not, the father's not the priest, but his mother is a priest, and it's really not his mother. Oh, she's just a carrier. But he's got them sewed up on both ends.
Yeah, legally he's dead.
Look. If somebody, if they say, you know what, that just made me think about something. Like Paul. Paul, he's the first member in the body of Christ. And he's a Roman citizen, but he's a Hebrew by genealogy. But a Roman on the legal side. And the Lord embodies his a king and a priest, and yet neither one of them has anything to do with it, only from the legal standpoint. That makes sense?
Yeah.
That's
spiritually, you know, it's different, but legally,
because
it's both legal and spiritual. It's like he's crossing all the.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence that. That's how it turns out, but
it's not the natural standpoint,
right?
Because I got lost in the notes. So Mary, Levi, they were both not his parents per se.
Naturally.
But what did you say? Legally.
But, right, see, legally, he has a right to be, if he wanted to be a king, he's in the right line, legally.
She's in the right line for the priest.
Right.
So he ties it
off. Okay. But it was just coincidence. Don't get too caught up with that. It was just interesting. I just thought when we were going through that, I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for, Ed?
Well, the two genealogies, you know, that the one in Matthew, which is through Joseph.
Right.
Starts with Joseph. It definitely starts with Abraham, goes to David, goes to Isaac, goes to Jacob, then goes to Judah.
Right.
Judas, as it calls it right there. So there clearly that defines him that he's from the tribe of Judah.
He's got a right to be.
Right.
He's got the legal right.
And then Mary's in
Luke
goes all the way back to Adam.
All the way back to Adam. And when it goes through,
I was trying to find it. Yeah, to see where it went through.
But because it goes through, but really goes through to Adam, which was the son of God.
Right. Son of God.
And really, he's associated himself with mankind, and the priest is the only mediator between man and God.
Right.
At that time.
Yeah.
So when the Lord shows up, he says, "You know what? I'm after a different tribe now." He says, after the order, rather, of Melchizedek. Hebrews, back at 7. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. So he's kind of adding it on there. He says, look, Moses didn't talk about this priesthood, about this order. And he said, and on top of that, he says, he arose after the order of Melchizedek, which is before Levi was even thought of. See, he wasn't different like John. John was like a variation of a Levite. He was just outside the standard Levitical process.
A transition.
Right. But this man, he said, you know, he's not even, he has nothing to do with Levites.
Yeah, he's above.
You say, that's new and that's a new and improved priest.
Right. Yeah.
Really. Not just a bait and switch. He's really new. And verse 16, he says, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. You know, when he says a carnal commandment, the law was just temporary, until the time came for it to be replaced. This priesthood, this law, he said, it comes after the power of an endless life. The Levitical priesthood was many servants or many priests, but it was limited. The priest,
the lives ended.
And even if he lived, they could only minister from 30 years old to 50 years old. So if he lived to be 60, oh, he still couldn't be a priest. He's that. That's when the Lord, that's where you see in Matthew, it says when the Lord began to be about 30. You remember that verse?
Yeah.
Then he begins his ministry. Why 30? Because he's beginning his order. Just don't know about it. And really, he's walking around. Isn't that amazing? Look, he's walking around on earth fulfilling he's the king. He's the when he comes in, he's like, Hosanna, Hosanna. They know he's the king, right? And at the same time, you don't know about it until Hebrews. Let me ask you this. If he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and the priest begins at 30, why didn't the scripture say anything about that until Hebrews?
About his
you don't see the term being used. They called him the king. They never called him the priest. But he always did the priestly things. That's where the healing comes in. Who could heal but you remember he did this when he healed the man and he said, go and show thyself to the priest. Not only because it was the law, he says, go and show thyself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses said offer. If you're a priest and you know you've never healed a leper, ever, and you know him, and he comes in with the sacrifice, and he says, hey, Blake, what are you doing here?
What's up?
You know you're a leper. And he says, yeah, but I'm cured now. I got my sacrifice.
Who's greater than me?
And he's looking at his hair, his no scabs, no white spots. He said, wow. If you're a priest, what's your next question? How did this happen? You know what? It's a miracle. And he said, you know what? Just like the guy in John, he says, it's funny that I got healed and you don't know who he is. It's funny, you're the priest and you don't know who healed me. That should automatically, you should say, you know what? I have to find this man. If he's not a priest,
then he must be a magician.
Or you know what? If he's not a priest, he should be. If he's not a priest, he should be. But those things he did throughout his whole ministry, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. All those infirmities that the priest should have made clean, he did. And guess who was against him?
The priest.
Tradition.
And he's telling them, he says, he's after a different order. He said this, not a carnal commandment. You could have been a priest, and they were. They were priests and totally ineffective. Totally ineffective. He says, but I'm a priest. They're a priest after the carnal commandment. And we find out it's going to be the weakness and unprofitableness of that system. Here, he says, but this priesthood is the power of an endless life. Verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For 18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. They have to. He's showing you it has to be a disannulling, is a doing away of the old system, an abolishment of it, a replacement of it. Not a revision, a replacement. So that's, it has to be scrapped. So when the temple's destroyed, when that system is done, he said there won't be one stone left on another.
That's why he tore the veil.
That system, when the Lord dies, there's no need for this old system. The Old Testament. The law. There's no need for it.
So your question was, why do we wait to Hebrews to find out more about this priesthood? Seems to me that that act, we are healed by his stripes. Yes, he healed them physically, but the actual great healing for the Israelites who believed was his death, burial, and resurrection.
Right.
So that's why it's after that that information had to be given about what it was all about.
Exactly. Because we just read it. If perfection had come by the old, there would be no need for a new order. You know, and that's, I love that word. Because when you look at it, that's what we need. Perfection. We'll come back to that. So, where are we at? Verse 18. For verily there is a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. He says the law made, there it is, it made nothing what? Perfect. It made nothing perfect. What does he mean? It made nothing perfect. He said it was weak and what?
Unprofitable.
Beggarly, same thing. It was, and it, that's what. I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of just when you think about perfection. It doesn't mean what?
Complete.
It doesn't mean sinless. That's what we think. Well, the minute we see perfect, we think. We think sinless.
We think on the outside.
But what he's talking about is he brought them to,
like, everything complete and finished.
He was bringing them, the Hebrews, he's bringing them to a state of spiritual readiness. When he comes the first time, they don't realize when he comes, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from the Romans. That's what they saw. But he said, his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
The law couldn't do that.
Okay. When the law, just think about this. They come out of Egypt, right? They get to the wilderness. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. They mumble, they grumble, they complain, right? They disobey. And yet, they said, well, whatever you want us to do, we're ready to serve. Right? We're ready to worship and serve you. We're ready to worship and serve you. Anybody got a word? Any word for me that we talked about? We're ready to worship and serve you. We're ready to be transformed into your image. So, when he says, really? Without my help? He said, tell you what, Moses, you tell them to come down on the third day. We're going to have a talk. He draws a line and he says, no access. They didn't have access. Why not? Because you can't get that close. That's why the temple only had a certain tribe that could come in, and out of the certain tribe, only certain men at certain times. And he had to go in all decked out with different. He had to. It was a shadow of this. His attire was a shadow of perfection, but it wasn't the very substance. So he comes in, and here he says, but that was weak and unprofitable. It wasn't able to perfect you. It wasn't able to make you spiritually equipped. You weren't really equipped. They weren't really equipped to worship and serve. When they came in, he says, my goal was for you to be a kingdom of what?
Priest.
The priest could not have any defilements. That was a spiritual perfection. That's what made the Levites different. Is God said, even though they weren't, God said, you're sanctified. You're consecrated. You're different. Really? I'm better. No, I just made you better. He said, you're no different than the rest of them, but I said you're different. If I say you're different, then you're different. Even though the day's coming where you'll really be different, I'm gonna tell you you're different right now as a shadow of what the true priest will do. Okay? So you go through there and he says, there are several things that he says, if you got this as a priest, forget about it. You know, if you got a crooked nose, if you got bald spot, if you got whatever, it was, you know what? I think it was like 13 things that if it was something wrong with the priest, he couldn't function as a priest. Even though he was a Levite. You think God's serious about that? So, but.
Well, it might only have been a shadow, but it had to be a perfect shadow.
That's right. He told Moses, where you see it, look, where is it? Well, I think we passed it. He says, when he told Moses, he said, see that thou make everything according to the pattern that I showed you in the mount. He's like, this is just a figure of the truth, but he says, hey,
it's not scary.
Do exactly what I tell you to do. Exactly how I tell you to do it. He said, where are we at? Verse 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, The Lord swore and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So you think about this. He never promised the Levites. He never promised the Levites they would have an unchanging priesthood. He just made them priests. He made them the carriers of the service and worship. So if he said to the Levites, you're done, they couldn't say, hey, wait a minute. You promised. You swore that we'd be priests forever. And no, I didn't. I didn't tell you that. But this man, he said, you are a priest forever. He said, I swear it, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So how long is that order around? Eternal. Huh? Eternal?
The order of Melchizedek?
Yeah. Eternal. How you know that?
Said so.
I said so.
It's an everlasting priesthood.
It's an everlasting priesthood, right? No beginning, no end. He said in verse 16, it's the power of an endless life. By 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. You know, he says, this priesthood is so good, so much better. He says, I'm going to swear that it'll never change. I won't ever have to replace this priesthood. So you won't read again and say, you know what? New improved. You know, like Melchizedek 2.0, 3.0, or like the Apple phone, it's like, or Samsung 8. So you're telling me that all the rest of them is not too good, right? Well, this will, you know what? It won't be a Melchizedek 1, 2, 3.
This is it.
This is it. And verse 23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Unchangeable priesthood. You know, think about this. Most of those priests, you think about Nadab and Abihu. What happened to them? They died. And then they put in more. You think about another priest who was like Eli. He was the Lord. Well, he had a heart attack, but the Lord told him, he said, you're going to die. Because he had two priests in the priest's office, his sons, Phinehas and Hophni, that were laying with women in the tabernacle. Is that consecrated? No. You know what? That's the kind of priesthood you want? Is that weak and unprofitable? He said, but this man, he says, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him by God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. What did the priest offer up? Did you get this?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, what did the priest offer up? This man He did what? This man, right? There's your man, right? This man, I'll do another. This is your man. This man got a little priest hat. This man did what?
Put his sins on them.
This man what?
Sacrificed an animal.
He said this man sacrificed an animal. This man
sacrificed himself.
This man was the offering. And
the offering.
The offerer and the offering. A sinless man with a sinless offering. That's why he said, he is, look, I don't have to worry about making a sacrifice for myself because I have nothing to sacrifice for. And the sacrifice is perfect.
He was perfect.
Because I'm perfect. See, look, he says in Hebrews, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. And it's not possible that this man could take away his own sin. And then offer for you. If he did, he needed a substitute just for himself. But here comes this different priest after the order of Melchizedek. He says, listen, I'm without blemish. I'm holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He says, the reason, when he says higher than the heavens, he's sitting at the right hand in the heavens. How could he do that? Huh?
Perfect,
because he's right.
Sinless.
He's sinless. And he says, look, I'm not just the offerer. I'm the offering. That's right. Look, behold the Lamb of God. So, you know what? You could just morph that lamb into that man. When he goes up there, he's shedding his own blood. And he's offering his own blood. Isn't he? For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. He said the oath which produces or maketh the Son. Who could think of that? Who could think of that? I'm sure you can think of that. Look at Romans 3. And we'll pick up at 8 next. Romans 3. 21. And squeeze this in before we run out of time. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be what?
Just.
And what?
Justifier.
And justifier. Of him that what? Believeth in Jesus. Look, the priest's job, he says, the priest is the man who will pronounce you clean. But the offering is what cleansed you. And the Lord says, listen, under this system, he says, he's just because it's being paid for and it's able to be paid for. And he's a justifier because this is the man who's making the intercession for you. Because he's the one that comes out and says, he's okay. Why is he okay? Because it's been paid. He says, nah, he said, this in this case, he says, I did it. That's what he's ever, what it said, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God through him. The uttermost is, Paul would say this, that that you could be thoroughly furnished in all areas, every aspect, completely. He said, that's what his sacrifice does for those Hebrews as well as us. He says, I can take care of all that. Whatever's wrong, I got you covered. Do you believe that? And look, that's the starting point for them. You want to serve? If you want to worship and serve me, first, you know what? Why don't you just get a hold of what I did? Then we can go forward. But if you stumble over this, where you go? Where you go from there?
Can't help you.
Can't help you. All right. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time we spent around your word. We pray that we've read some verses tonight that as we read and believe it, that even though it's to the Hebrews, we might draw the lesson from your word and be able to apply just the doctrine to our benefit as we understand not only what you've written to the Hebrews and for them, but how it fits for us in this dispensation of grace. So we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the time we spent here. We thank you for each person that's represented here and their families. And we just pray that you strengthen us according to our needs. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.